Blog Talk Radio.
You people, today is Thursday, June 22nd, 2017. I am PW Torch columnist Pat McNeil, filling in for PW Torch editor Wade Keller. This is the Interview Thursday episode of the PW Torch livecast, and our telephone number is 515-605-9345. I am going to go ahead and dial up our guest, which I didn't get to do until mere seconds ago. And while I do that, we're going to... And we have a very special guest co-host with us today, which I will get to momentarily. But first, let's talk to the man who is our guest of honor today. And they call him the best in the world because he is the Ring of Honor World Heavyweight Champion, Mr. Christopher Daniels. How are you doing, sir?
Doing great, man. How are you today?
Doing fine. Hold on a moment. Okay, that's a little loud. Now let's go ahead and bring in our guest co-host for today. I believe you have actually met this gentleman, Mr. Daniels. He is former NWA president and super agent to the stars. Hold on a moment.
To introduce our guest star, that's what it's time to do.
Yes.
Oh, it really makes me happy to introduce to you.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bill Behrens.
Yes, Chris Daniels and I have met before, but you misidentified him. He is the Ring of Honor World Champion of the world.
Oh,
perfect.
Oh.
Well done, Bill.
I'm
well
sorry.
Done. Thank you.
I'm sorry. Okay, well, shame on me for that. Welcome to the show, both of you. Again, the number is 515-605-9345, and if I had any good sense, I would also check our email account. Email, by the way. You can reach us here at pwtorchlivecast@gmail.com for all of your questions. Let's start with this. Christopher Daniels, part of tomorrow night's huge Best in the World pay-per-view for Ring of Honor. In fact, he is in the main event. He'll be defending that title against the artist formerly known as Cody Rhodes, who is now Cody or Cody Rumbles or whatever you want to call him. And there's an interesting situation that could be happening. If Mr. Daniels defeats Cody tomorrow and Cody captures the IWGP title next weekend, then you would be not only be the Ring of Honor champion, you'd probably be the number one contender for the IWGP title.
Well, that's very possible, Pat, but that's not something that I'm really looking towards at this point. I'm looking towards tomorrow night and really concentrating on the championship that's most important to me. An opportunity for the IWGP belt certainly would be a feather in my cap, but I'm not going to get ahead of myself. That's not how good strategy guys do it. We take it one match at a time.
That's true. It's been quite a year for you already. Back at the anniversary show, you captured the ROH World Heavyweight title of the world for the first time, a very emotional moment. A lot of fans were... We're thrilled to see that, and you've kept defending it here. You've done so much in your career already, but is this the best year so far?
Well, definitely holding a title with the prestige of the Ring of Honor World Championship is certainly probably the biggest feather in my cap, especially in terms of a singles career. I'm very proud of the tag championships that I've held with Frankie, but as far as the singles title goes, the ROH title is the pinnacle for me.
Yeah, but I also think that fans have to remember, and I'm sure they do, that it was Chris Daniels who literally established the brand of Ring of Honor at the very beginning and established the respect in ring at the very beginning, regardless of what side he was on at that time. Without him there at that time doing that thing, Ring of Honor might have been something totally different.
Oh, absolutely. As a matter of fact, the very first Best in the World show in 2006, Christopher Daniels took on Alex Shelley, who will also be on the show tomorrow night in one of the matches. And could you imagine 11 years ago how far Ring of Honor was gonna come?
Well, I mean, I think in 2006 it had started to become its own entity. You know, that first year, year and a half, we had no idea the impact that ROH was going to have on professional wrestling as a whole. But yeah, by 2006, I think we had a pretty good idea. We had started branching out into different markets at that point, and certainly the level of talent had grown and become more international in flavor at that point.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And progressive growth from there, you know, with the, you know, first some television, you know, the initial television, and then beyond that, Sinclair Broadcasting getting involved and all of the growth potential that offers, but Sinclair doing what they should do and taking it slow and making sure each step works and simultaneously slowly increase the benefit to the wrestlers and let more of them be involved on a guaranteed basis. It's been a really cool growth thing. I going back to a couple, 3 years ago when AJ came back, and then that led in some small way to the New Japan relationship, and now so many doors are open to an athlete that's involved with Ring of Honor, which is why it's no longer a stepping stone, it's a destination, and there you have Chris Daniels at the top of that. So, you know, not a bad thing.
Nope, not at all. Yes, in the interest of fairness, Mr. Behrens is actually represents the ROH champion, Christopher Daniels, along with many, many...
I believe that's
many...
irrelevant in this conversation.
Well...
Any superlatives I use are not in any way gratuitous. They are simply the truth.
Nope. Okay. We're taking your calls, 515-605-9345. Let's go ahead and get a first call in before our opening break. Oh, here we go. In the 862 area code, 862, please state your name and town. You're on the live cast with Christopher Daniels. And hello, Kylan. How are you doing?
How are you and our two guests doing today?
I'm great.
As am I.
I'm superlative.
Yes, he is.
Good to hear from you again.
Yes.
Great to hear from you too, Bill.
All right, what do you have, Colin?
My first question is for Christopher.
Okay.
Considering the fact that you've mentioned in previous interviews that your in-ring career is soon to be over, could you ever see yourself doing what Steve Corino is doing and becoming a trainer at the WWE Performance Center down the road?
Honestly, it's a possibility, but the truth of the matter is I feel like with the amount of time and effort that I put into building Ring of Honor, it would make sense for me to continue a relationship with ROH and try and help build that as far as a federation and try and help, you know, the up-and-coming talent in the Ring of Honor locker room. I'm not discounting an opportunity with the WWE in the future. But, I mean, honestly, I feel like I've got more cachet as someone who's put, you know, more than a decade into the Ring of Honor product.
Plus, you know, WWE is kind of funny about things in that they like to invite people to work for them instead of the other way around. So, yeah.
I'm just saying. I'm aware of this path.
Okay. Okay. Sorry, go ahead then.
Question number two is for you and Bill, Fat.
Okay.
What do you make of the breaking news that Mauro Ranallo is back to WWE in Triple H's care as an announcer of NXT and for Bill as someone who has had his fair share of negotiating these kinds of deals on the wrestler end, what goes into making such a deal?
right.
Help run that question by me briefly, Pat.
The question is, what sort of negotiation, I think, was necessary to get Mauro Ranallo back in WWE as part of the NXT announced team?
Oh, well, that's sort of an easy one.
Yeah.
You can go. Your turn. Go.
I guess that they were trying to, Mauro was under contract for WWE and he wanted to do other things. So, and there was a very public issue with him and JBL, which I know Mauro probably didn't intend to become public. So that was part of, they obviously wanted to resolve their issues, and I think that. They obviously wanted Mauro to continue working for them and creating a situation where Mauro would be working for NXT where he's not going to encounter the guy who was giving him such a hard time, I think seems like a very elegant solution. Bill?
Yes. And also, if it doesn't work, it was, worth the effort because he has talent. Not everybody fits into every environment is the key, and frequently we look to other people as the problem, and I'm not saying that there wasn't tension, not saying there wasn't some form of perceived harassment, but at the same time, the reality is either you fit in an environment or you don't, and if you try to force yourself, be the square peg round hole guy, it's a hard spot unless your talent allows you to do that, and people have over the years, but you have to force that kind of thing. You can't cause the environment. And not saying a negative environment, but just an environment, a work environment, whatever it is. You can't force it to mold to your idiosyncrasies.
Yeah. Okay, next question.
And my final question is for Christopher. Who do you look forward to? To wrestling and Ring of Honor throughout the rest of your tenure besides your upcoming match with Cody tomorrow?
Could you repeat that question for me?
He wants to know who else in Ring of Honor you're interested in defending the title against after your match with Cody tomorrow. Or who else you'd be interested in facing, whether you're champion or not.
Well, certainly, I look forward to defeating Cody, so I have no problem saying that I'd like to defend the belts against guys like Marty Scurll and Will Ospreay, and, those are the top two guys in my head. I recently defended the title against Jay Lethal in Australia, but, as someone who has one of the strongest world title reigns in past history, I feel like Jay certainly deserves an opportunity to, compete for the title again. And then at the same time, you can't look past someone like Jay Briscoe, who's, been a stalwart of this company from the very beginning. So, those are four challenges that I have no problem making overtures towards getting contracts signed due.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, Colin.
All right. Good luck tomorrow, Chris.
I don't need it, but thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Kylan, and good having you on. Hope you catch the bus at the bus station. Thank you. Number is 515-605-9345. Tell you what, we are about due for a commercial timeout. When we come back, more of your calls and emails and even chat room questions for the ROH World Champion, Christopher Daniels.
When you're looking to tune in live to the PW Torch Livecast, find out about the next episode, or just catch up on an episode you missed, go to our new website, pwtorchlivecast.com. You can select shows by specific day, specific host, and format, including a grid of our latest interviews and best of selections on the homepage. That is pwtorchlivecast.com, where you can stream our show live and listen to past shows on demand. That's pwtorchlivecast.com.
And we're back with more of the PW Torch Livecast Interview Thursday edition. I am Torch columnist Pat McNeil, filling in for Wade Keller. And with me as guest host today is Bill Behrens, wrestling super agent and former president of the National Wrestling Alliance. Christopher Daniels is with us, at least for the next 15 minutes. He has a very important, a very busy media schedule. And do you still have to travel to Massachusetts, Christopher?
No, I'm in Massachusetts right now. I traveled this morning, so I'm here.
Okay.
Well, just got out of the gym, and I'm ready to study tape of tomorrow's match.
Okay, good plan. The number here is 515-605-9345. Chat room is open. Email is open. The Twitter is open at RealPatMcNeil. We're taking all of your questions. As a matter of fact, let's go ahead and get to an email, which is actually for Bill. Believe it or not, question is from VIP member Kenny, who asks, Bill, how do you see the National Wrestling Alliance under Billy Corgan? He clearly is looking to take the ideas that he wanted to put into Impact and give them a go with NWA. I think the best thing for them is to ditch the individual members concept in favor of a Evolve or WWE concept and find a TV deal similar to Flow Sports. Also, are you, well, let's tackle that question first before we get to the second one.
I wish him luck. He's buying a brand. The brand has either been benefiting or not under the most recent owner. I was involved in the previous incarnation, one that I thought did pretty good, was involved with WWE during its run, was involved in TNA during its run, had a lot of very good champions and provided a lot of good history and had a lot of exposure. You know, millions of people were involved in what we were doing during that time, but that, you know, everybody's changed in that. TNA used to reach millions, and now they reach hundreds of thousands, so things change. And then certainly for the NWA, yeah, it's changed. What Billy's buying is a brand. What he does with it is a combination. It's very simple to say get television. It's impossible to guarantee it or even get close to it. Jeff Jarrett's had TV shows produced for quite a while until he found a way to get back in with someone else that no one has aired to date that he taped years ago now. It's very hard to get on TV is the beginning, middle, and end of it. And if you get on TV, you have to figure out a way to then make money from it. You know, the catch-22. Yeah, the destination isn't necessarily always the solution. It may be a greater problem. So that's the first thing. Billy Corgan has no talent under contract because the NWA has nobody under contract. Therefore, they don't exist except as a brand. As a brand identified by individuals, they're only identified by the people most recently involved and any legend worth dragging his ass to a building. So that's the challenge. It was the challenge we had when Howard Rohde got back involved after the lawsuit that led to the brand being reverted to a small group of people back in the WCW days. So, you know, it's a new challenge, I think a very difficult one. I would question the intelligence of anyone who invested a lot of money in it, but Billy is couched to be a very smart guy, and we will find out soon.
Okay, the second part of Kenny's question is about Howard Brody's appearance on the Jim Cornette podcast. And the writer asks what your opinion of Howard as a wrestling businessman is.
Howard's book is a testament to don't let this happen to you at some level. But at the same time, very entertaining, and he had a lot of experience, and he constantly did everything he could to get into a game of some kind. And there's a lot of people that have survived in the wrestling business by simply throwing stuff at the wall. And Howard was great at it, and he would throw the biggest pile of it at the wall that he possibly could find. And if it meant one show, it was great. If it meant more, it was great. But without Howard's zeal to accomplish something and without Bob Trobich and myself to calm him down, what little the NWA did during the time it did do the, you know, the WWE thing and it did do the TNA thing and it did have something going on, you know, even though Howard wasn't involved at the tail end of that, he still created that. So he deserves credit for that. That is a success he had. A lot of the other things sort of just come and go like the wind. but they're entertaining. You know, he does the woman thing. He does, you know, I think he still has something he's trying to sell overseas now, Ring Warriors, that he's still trying to sell. I've never seen the product, but it exists.
Right. Yeah, I know he did. I know he did shows in Florida and taped them. But I don't know.
No small way, as is our guest Christopher Daniels, for the actual launch of AJ Styles, because Howard promoted a show in Florida. Daniel was a huge star on the Independence. Had hair at the time, in fact. And AJ was booked, and he was the up and coming kid. He hadn't really done anything at that point. Had a little bit of, you know, a half a minute as a tag team guy, spot guy in WCW, but it was hard to pay attention to it because it was so fleeting. And he had Wildside. And I went down and I didn't know Daniels, and he agreed to a match where it ended up that AJ went over. And it was so amazing at the time, even the cameraman, if you ever watch the tape on the YouTube, you can hear the camera, handheld cameraman going, "Oh my God, what an upset." That was that literally was the beginning. And it was, I think, when Alan and Daniel got to be pretty good friends.
Yeah, that was that the NWA anniversary show?
Yes, Daniel, talk.
Yes,
yes,
please.
That's exactly what it was. It was the 53rd anniversary in Florida for in the IPW building. And yeah, that was the first night that AJ and I had ever met, and the beginning of a long friendship.
Yeah, that's lasted to this day. Is it weird seeing guys like AJ, like Samoa Joe, who you've spent a lot of time around working with, you know, seeing them on the on what I guess you'd call the big stage, a big stage.
No, not at all.
A big stage. Yeah.
No, it's not weird at all. I knew that if they were given an opportunity to thrive and survive, they would. So I think it's long overdue. And I think that the year that each of them have had, or the time, Joe's been less than a year, but I mean, I think that the matches that they've had and the success that they've had since they've debuted has just sort of shown the world what I already knew, is that they were, you know, top-notch talent to begin with. All they needed was the opportunity, and once they got that opportunity, they've taken the ball and run with it.
Mm-hmm. The other thing that stands out during this part of during these past few months is, you know, you've had the issue with the Bullet Club, and you actually had Frankie Kazarian infiltrate the Bullet Club in order to prevent them from interfering in your title shot after everything that you'd been through with the Bullet Club. Was that, how rewarding was that to be able to do that? Just be able to get a clean playing field for that?
Well, I mean, just the idea of having a one-on-one title shot was all I needed. I feel like you go back, you look at the tape. Not once does Frankie interfere on my behalf. He just evens the playing field. And I knew that if in the situation with a one-on-one, even playing field, one against the other, I knew that I could beat Adam Cole. And it wasn't just the one-on-one aspect, but the idea that Adam believed that he had aces up his sleeve, and having Frankie in the Bullet Club sort of took that away from him. So once he realized that he didn't have the backup that he wanted or the backup that he planned on, that sort of broke his spirit, and the rest was academic at that point.
Okay. Let's see. Actually, you did a recent interview saying that that one of the guys outside Ring of Honor that you haven't been able to wrestle with yet that you'd like to is Chris Jericho. I don't know that Jericho is going to end up doing anything outside of WWE anytime soon. Is there anybody outside Ring of Honor who you think there might be a very real chance you'll get to face in the next year or so?
Well, I think that a lot, I feel like in this day and age, anybody that's gotten any sort of buzz about them has been nailed down, whether it's with Ring of Honor, with Lucha Underground, with Impact Wrestling, or they've gone into the feeder system, the NXT system, or whatever. So, I mean, I would love to get an opportunity to wrestle someone like Sami Callihan or Brian Cage, but, you know, those guys are beholden to Lucha Underground. I'd love to get an opportunity to work with Penta L0M, but I mean, I don't think I'll ever get an opportunity unless something changes with their contract status. I mean, certainly I would love that opportunity to work with guys of that nature. Penta and Rey Fénix would be awesome, but I mean, it's just it's a matter of the lay of the land right now. And so, you know, with me being under contract with Ring of Honor, It then turns into, you know, do these people want to be a part of Ring of Honor? Do they want to take that step in their career, or do they want to continue doing, you know, Lucha Underground or Impact or whatever their choice is?
Okay. We have a caller waiting from the 615 area code. 615, please state your name and town. You're on with the champ, Christopher Daniels.
Okay. Close enough. I'll send it to you, VIP member. Thanks for reading my email, Pat. And by the way, Chris,
I'm
looking forward to seeing what you guys do on Friday. And I do have a question for you, since you're still on the air, about the success of Ring of Honor and in New Japan. Obviously, the deal that was made with Sinclair and Tribune will obviously help bring some growth into that promotion. But I guess my big question is, with WWE and Impact heading over to India and doing a lot of events in India, do you see yourself as a possibility that Ring of Honor will do the same as a standalone, or will they have to pair up with New Japan to do something that big?
I'm under the understanding that Ring of Honor just recently secured television in India. And I think that's a doorway for us to possibly tour India at some point. But I think logistically it all comes down to the investment versus the reward. I mean, I feel like traveling to India is very costly. And, you know, it's just a matter of figuring out the right way to invest properly and get a return on that investment by bringing the entire, you know, the production, the entire staff, the entire equipment, and the roster to India. But I mean, I certainly feel like it's a possibility. I guess it depends on the success of whatever television deal that we just recently finalized over there.
Yeah, it also takes time to set up an international tour. So, you already have one. You guys already have one set for August. So, I mean, you're looking at probably fall at the absolute earliest.
Well, the Ring of Honor has smartly decided to find strategic partnerships in its growth internationally and share the cost and benefit of that expansion. So New Japan Pro Wrestling is a template. CMML in Mexico is a work in progress on that. Rev Pro and other potential partners in the United Kingdom, Rev Pro continues, others are coming in. There's going to be continued growth in international markets, but you're right, it's costly to go over and try to do it by yourself, and sometimes foolhardy. Sometimes it's almost like indie guys trying to get a TV show just to say they have one, regardless of what it costs and how quickly it puts them out of business. You got to be careful, you know, who's paying for what and what the benefit is, as Daniel said.
Right. Okay. Anything else, Kenny?
Yeah, I do have one quick question for Bill. Bill, I know that you, when you were running NWA Wildside, you had a lot of help and success in bringing that into the syndication fund. I want to get your opinion on how television and pro wrestling and the relationship it works now that we're in the WWE network era and the Flow Sports era, where we have 24/7 streaming with Netflix and Hulu and all sorts of different options more than ever before. Is this a good thing for pro wrestling that we have this much options, or is that makes it harder for pro wrestling to be able to be a viable product on either television or on the internet streaming services today?
Tough question, and not a bad one, actually. More is better, more is worse. What do you mean? More is better. As a viewer, if you're a fan of something, having more of it is a lovely thing if you're predisposed to the product. More is better if you are in a large theater where lots of people are predisposed to watch, which would be it still would be network television in prime time, which is still the largest, you know, live delivery or guaranteed delivery beyond all of the diversity of other channels. The bad is the more that's out there and the more that's out quickly and all over the place on the various systems simply dilutes the marketplace and fragments a small audience even more, and you end up niching things where mainstream becomes WWE and then everyone else seems to be searching for a niche. Ring of Honor has admitted its niche, which is a good idea, which is, you know, we're the guys that are actually going to go out and wrestle. You know, we're not couching ourselves as sports entertainment. We're wrestling, and that's what we do. Other people, you know, may not be as well defined when they get started, And so a lot of these things, and a lot of them are startups. Flow Slam is an example that are limitedly funded and are throwing money at stuff, and who knows what's going to happen.
Yeah, that's fair. Kenny?
That's really all I had to say, and I really appreciate you guys taking my call. And just, Daniel, good luck in your match against Cody Reynolds. I know you said you don't need it, but all the good luck is all important, especially when you're going up against the Bullet Club. You have a good rest of the day.
All right, man. Thanks very much. I appreciate that.
Yes. Thank you, Kenny. We are coming up on the bottom of the hour here at PWTorchLivecast.com. I don't know how much longer Mr. Daniels has to stay with us, but the number is 515-605-9345. About that European tour, in the month of August, you're set to go to the UK. I believe it's Edinburgh, London, and Liverpool. Any notion of who you'd be looking at facing once we get through Best in the World and the TV
taping? I think there have been some matches discussed, but certainly tomorrow's event is going to have ramifications on that tour, I'm sure. So there's nothing I could really come out and say 100% as far as negotiations.
Yeah, I mean, they don't even have listed here, what you're going to be doing at the TV taping on Saturday, because, you know, a lot of that's going to depend on what happens tomorrow night.
Well, there's the stipulations on more than just the titles on the line in the main. All the way up and down the card, there's stuff going on that's impactful. You know, there's one match where a major faction is going to have to disband. So there's a lot of things going on that particular thing that affect the direction as you head into the TV taping. You know, if people are going to be together, that is easier to plan than if they're not.
Right. Yep, very true. Okay, everybody, just to make sure, Ring of Honor Best in the World pay-per-view, it's on tomorrow night. On most of you know how to get pay-per-view. There's also the Fight TV app, and apparently those of you with PlayStation, apparently now you can purchase it through there. And other than your match, Christopher, what match is holds the most interest for you?
Well, certainly the Young Bucks against the War Machine for the tag titles. I still feel that despite being the world champion, Frankie and I are still one of the best tag teams in wrestling today. And, I feel like we haven't finished doing what we set out to do as a team. So whoever wins that match certainly has our attention. And, no matter what happens in the main event tomorrow night, I'm always looking towards opportunities for myself and Frankie to hold tag team gold also.
Yes, and he's got
Frankie's got a tough match. No one in the world enjoys a strap match.
Right, exactly.
Well, the fans might enjoy the strap match, but the guys in it, it's Frankie, it's Kazarian and Adam Page. Excuse me, Hangman Page.
I've seen many a blistered back in the past and been around close up with those things. I have no idea why any human signs to do those. I literally don't. I mean, literally, as a promoter, I don't get it. When, you know, anytime I've booked it and the guy goes, yeah, I'll do that. And I go, really? You will?
Yeah.
You're an idiot.
Well, I imagine to hurt their opponent. I mean, that's a logical
conclusion. Well, yes, but
there's
the opposite side of that that I've always found, you know, it's like, you know, and wrestling's tough enough as it is when you bring in something that you know is, you know, I don't know if you've ever been whipped with a belt. It just depends on your family. But it's not a good thing is what I would suggest.
Okay. All right. You're right. There is somebody who I think wants to talk to you before you leave. Champ, let's go to the 610 area code quickly. 610, please state your name, town, and who you work for.
Hey, Champ. It's Ian Riccaboni with Ring of Honor. How are you?
Hello, Ian. What's going on?
Not too much. Pat sent me a message and asked if I'd join you here tonight, give a little preview of the big event tomorrow night on pay-per-view. So, you know, I definitely heard what you had to say, and I know the preparation has been going well, but you know, I can't wait to call that match tomorrow night.
Well, thank you very much. I'm looking forward to you calling it, especially the part where I get my hand raised at the end.
You know, well, that's, yeah. Here's the thing. Yesterday morning, I was called by the Ring of Honor Board of Directors. And, you know, things with Cody, Cody's gotten under just about everybody's skin. And the Board of Directors actually called me and said that I have to remain impartial. So they believe that in some of the other events and some of the other matches that maybe I'd been less than partial or impartial, rather, to Cody. So, you know, I think he got a pretty good shot if his mind is that far down the rabbit hole and he's worrying about other things like that. So,
okay. Well, that's a that is a point in your favor. Now, Ian, did they call Colt Cabana and tell him to stop being so partial towards Christopher Daniels, or did that not happen?
Well, apparently Colt's a little bit more impartial than I am, which was news to me, judging by his reaction when Dalton Castle it comes out each time. You know, he and Dalton have had wars, very specifically in New York City at Final Battle in Manhattan Mayhem. So he might have gotten that talk about Dalton Castle. But, yeah, as far as I know, I was the only one to receive that call.
Okay,
the guys really shouldn't pay attention to the talking. They should be doing other stuff. You know, the talking guys are trying to talk to the fans, so. You know, that's their job, is to express what's going on to the fans and bring some emotion to it. And Ring of Honor has continued to have a great crew, no matter who seems to be in the spot. It's getting better now, which is really good, because the TV is going to be growing, so it needs to have a strong team.
Yeah, and let me submit, if you're in the main event of a Ring of Honor show and you can hear the announcers at ringside and you're listening for that, you probably have other issues going on.
Yes, you're distracted.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Just saying. All right. Tell you what, I don't know how much longer Christopher can stay with us, but we are due for a break. And we come back, Ian, you're going to run down the entire Ring of Honor show and possibly the Ring of Honor weekend. This is the PW Torch live cast. Don't touch that dial. We will be right back.
We know you're a pro wrestling fan because you're listening to the PW Torch livecast. There's a good chance you're also a fan of the UFC and all of mixed martial arts. And if so, we hope you'll check out our sister website at MMATorch.com, covering the news of MMA every single day with breaking news, exclusive analysis, an array of columns, live event coverage, flashbacks, and so much more. Check it out. That's MMATorch.com, or download the free MMA Torch app in the iPhone and Android app stores. That's MMATorch.com.
The PW Torch livecast returns on PWTorchLivecast.com, Thursday edition. I understand that our champion, Christopher Daniels, had to leave. We do, however, have another mystery guest scheduled to show up at the top of the hour, believe it or not. I am Torch columnist Pat McNeil filling in today. My guest co-host is Mr. Bill Behrens, former NWA president, former podcaster supreme, and super agent to the stars, and the gentleman who was featured on ESPN earlier today, Ring of Honor play-by-play man Ian Riccaboni. Ian, thank you again for checking in with us.
Absolutely. Pleasure to be here.
Yes. Now, I got to read on ESPN sort of the backstory to you becoming, you know, you getting hired and moving up and becoming the ROH play-by-play man. It seems, you know, it does seem a little bit like a dream come true. Except
certainly.
For the
and
setting
it,
up a wrestling
something...
ring. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. You know, it's something that it happened a little bit faster than I may have anticipated, but I've always had great people around me, whether that's our production staff or, you know, very specifically Kevin Kelly or Bob Evans, or even, you know, guys like Jeff Jones have been instrumental in really helping me understand wrestling as well. So, you know, I've always had great people around me. And then when you add in those folks with the talent, I've always been in great hands. So, the progression certainly was fast, from, you know, going up, setting up wrestling rings, learning how to do that, to becoming the lead announcer for a national television product in just under 4 years. But, you know, the passion's always been there, and the drive has always been there. And sometimes it's just the right set of circumstances that lead you to where you're going. So I've always tried to never say no to anything and really just take each opportunity one at a time and to try and make the most out of everything.
Well, as Bill Behrens was saying earlier about strap matches, there might be some things in the business you do want to say no to.
Right. Yeah. Hopefully never be involved in a strap match. You know, I'm crossing my fingers on that one.
Yeah, there's another promotion where the announcers are wrestling each other on pay-per-view in about a week and a half. So
it'll be a barn burner. It'll be a barn burner.
You got to be careful about that. That's all I'm saying. But
yeah, you know, I've limited my ring time for a reason. Yeah, you know, I got a bad back, so I'm just staying out of it.
That's a good point. So Kevin Kelly is he going to be with you tomorrow night? I know he's got a very busy schedule of his own outside of Ring of Honor, but he makes it when he can.
Yeah, I think you'll be interested to see who my partners will be tomorrow. You know, Kevin unfortunately will not be with us tomorrow. So I know there's a kind of a surprise on deck, so that might be some breaking news. But it'll be something different, something fun, and I think the fans will enjoy it. So don't want to start the rumor mill going too crazy, but
delirious.
Unfortunately, Kevin. Wow.
God, that would be great.
That would be fun, right? I mean,
that'd be something.
He can do it all.
He brings a unique insight to every match.
Sure does if you can understand him. I mean, so.
Well, who doesn't? It's like
true.
Cousin It on the Addams Family. Everyone understood Cousin It. Come on.
Right.
is it Kushida?
You know, Kushida, I've had very in-depth conversations with, believe it or not, and I can say it will not be him.
Okay.
It's somebody that is familiar Ring of Honor fans. It won't be somebody that we're introducing brand new, but it'll be somebody familiar to fans for sure.
Is it Chad Collier? No. Okay.
Oh wow!
Maybe not.
You know, it's not him, but Xavier was in attendance at War of the Worlds 2017, which was very cool. I got to say hi to him, and so you never know who's going to swing by and pop in at the Ring of Honor event. So. Not Chad Collier, not Xavier, but, hopefully we see them. Those are two great guys.
Right. Now, Doug, your job has been made a little more challenging by the fact that the Ring of Honor announced team was raided in 2017. Kevin Kelly ends up with New Japan as the English commentator. Steve Corino gets signed away to, help in the Performance Center. Nigel McGuinness is going to be – he's on NXT every Wednesday. And probably doing the UK show. And we've seen Colt Cabana a couple times, but I we've seen the TV show. I don't think, it doesn't seem like they're close to picking a regular full-time color commentator for you. At least it hasn't seemed that way.
I love working with Colt. Colt is somebody that's a great wrestler, and I think that's first and foremost. And coming into this too, I had anticipated Colt would be fantastic. I think a lot of other folks did as well, including Ring of Honor management. But the problem with Colt, and I say this is a good problem, he's so in demand around the world that unless we had communicated that he would be the guy, sometimes those dates may be a little bit difficult to line up. And I love working with Colt. I think moving forward, I think you'll see Colt and I a lot, which is great. Because he and I feel like we work really well together. He sort of understands my off humor, and I understand his funnier humor. And so, the two of us have found a nice bond, and we really hope to kind of share Ring of Honor wrestling like it's just two friends who are just watching wrestling together and talking about it each week, and that's something that the fans can enjoy.
Well, I understand what's happening with Colt because somewhere in the past decade, us professional wrestling podcasters became the cool kids, in demand wherever you go. I mean, very popular. I mean, Conrad Thompson went from being an obscure mortgage broker to being an obscure mortgage broker and a famous podcaster. So,
right.
There's a lot of that going around.
Oh, I love that.
Point made and beautifully done. Yes.
Yes. Anyway, we were going to talk about this show tomorrow night, and it's there's been a lot of turnover in Ring of Honor as there is most years, but looks like a strong lineup. We talked about Christopher Daniels and Cody. Right underneath that, Marty Skrull defending the it's Kushida defending the television title against Marty Skrull. Let's see, what can we expect from the rematch?
Well, you know, this is going to be something that this is the match that I think is going to be the match of the night. It's one that I think the fans are looking forward to with as much excitement as the tag team title match between the Young Bucks and War Machine, or even the world title match. I say that with all due respect, but these are two of the best athletes in the world right now, two of the best wrestlers in the world. Kushida came into the War of the Worlds tour in a bit of a funk. He lost to Takahashi in nearly record time in a IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship match. From there, you know, he was trying to shake the funk, came to the U.S. He pinned Jay Lethal, had a great match against Silas Young in Dearborn. We saw him at the World of Worlds pay-per-view, and then he defeated Marty Skrull in Philly. And from there, that was the catalyst for the tear he went on. He went 5-0 in elimination matches to win Best of the Super Juniors. He captured the IWGP Junior Championship. He's coming to the United States. He's going to have a heavy suitcase. But he is a guy that is world-class, and he's stepped up his game just even in the last 6 months. So fans are itching to see him here in the United States. And, of course, Marty Skrull, with so much going on in the Bullet Club, if you watch Being the Elite, if you tuned into Ring of Honor Wrestling, you saw sort of Adam Cole cost Marty Skrull the championship. You got to think that Skrull just is salivating at this opportunity to have a true one-on-one match with Kushida, and I think the fans will be the winners in this one.
Yeah, that seems fair. Mr. Daniels talked about the tag title match with the Young Bucks and the War Machine, and different styles and styles make fights, but there's no doubt that this should be a very good matchup.
Absolutely. And one of the best matches that I've called in my lifetime was a match that was on an ROH event called The Experience. It was in Columbus. And War Machine had the Young Bucks pinned and should have captured the Ring of Honor World Championships right then and there back in February. But there were some shenanigans from Bullet Club that cost War Machine that opportunity. I was amazed at that point how well the Young Bucks mitigated the size difference and the power difference. So, I expect this actually to be a pretty evenly fought match, especially considering the Young Bucks have had so much success in Lowell, including winning Ladder War there last year.
Yeah, that is a very good point. I don't know how to describe that match on the card, the six-man title match, Bully Ray and the Briscoes against Dalton Castle and the Boys. We've seen the Boys in action, and they're quite capable. They're athletic. They fight valiantly. It just seems it seems like the Briscoes, though, that's kind of a tall order.
Yeah, anytime you're in there, 8-time ROH World Tag Team Champions, and then of course Jay is the 2-time World Champion. Bully Ray is, you count his tag team championships, it's got to be over 30, maybe close to 40. Plus the world championships he's held in singles competition. So, those are three guys, three of the best tag team wrestlers of this decade and last decade, all on the same team. I think it's going to take a miracle. I really do. But the advantage that Dalton Castle and the Boys might have is suddenly, we saw hints of this with Jay Briscoe and his matches against Jay White and in other bouts where there's something a little bit different, a little bit angrier. And if they can almost bait Jay Lethal into using that anger to throw himself off of his game, they have a shot. But I think that's their only shot. I think that's the only way they can walk out of Massachusetts the champions.
You talk about there's some other good matches. This one's interesting. The Kingdom, Matt Taven and Vinny Marseglia, against Ultimo Guerrero and El Terrible, which I'm pretty sure we haven't seen them on Ring of Honor pay-per-view yet. What do you think?
Yeah, this started back in Mexico. Even a little bit before then, Matt Taven made his return from knee surgery, from ACL, MCL surgery in CMLL. Kind of an interesting tactic, but, you know, he was really able to get back into game shape, so to speak, in Mexico under the radar of Ring of Honor's watch. And then he comes back to Ring of Honor with the Kingdom, Vinny Marsaglia and TK O'Ryan. And so those three met this Team CMLL in the second round of the six-man tag team championship tournament. And since then, Team CMLL has Ultimo Guerrero, but this is his pay-per-view debut here for Ring of Honor. And since then, Matt Taven and Ultimo Guerrero have been in a feud over the NWA Historic Middleweight Championship, a title that's hotly contested in CMLL. So these two certainly have an issue. Of course, Matt Taven on Ring of Honor television this week did the Guerrero special, you know, the top rope maneuver that Ultimo Guerrero has made so famous in Mexico, to really send a message. So, you know, this is a feud that, you know, fans kind of in the know is brewing and is at a fever pitch. And, you know, Vinny Marsaglia and El Terrible, who's making his Ring of Honor debut, I think they're going to be the difference, because I just think Ultimo Guerrero and Matt Taven are going to be at each other's throats all night.
Okay. All right. We're going to take another time out here. When we come back, we'll talk more about Ring of Honor's Best in the World show tomorrow night. And we'll meet yet another mystery guest as the PW Torch live cast continues following this timeout.
If you're like me, you've got a list of your favorite podcasts that you listen to throughout the week, and also your favorite websites that you listen to throughout the week, but they don't always overlap. But in the case of PW Torch, they do. We hope not only will you listen to the PW Torch livecast every day, but also visit pwtorch.com every day for the latest insider perspective, breaking news, TV reports, live event reports, live pay-per-view coverage, exclusive editorials, and a wide range of other features. Check it out every day. It's mobile-friendly, desktop and laptop-friendly. Stay up to the minute, stay up to date with pwtorch.com.
The PW Torch livecast continues here on our Interview Thursday edition. Pat McNeil filling in for Wade Keller, along with the special guest host Bill Behrens and Ian Riccoboni, the Ring of Honor play-by-play guy, who was featured on ESPN today. The number is 515-605-9345. We have probably just over 35 minutes to go in the program. I do want to remind all of our PW Torch livecast listeners, immediately following Impact tonight, Andrew Suchek, Mike McMahon, they will be by with the Impact postgame show. You'll want to check that out. Tomorrow, the primetime Friday show, Friday 7 p.m. Eastern, Bruce Mitchell, Rich Fan will be there, and my services have been requested for tomorrow night in covering the Best in the World pay-per-view for PWTorch.com, so be sure to check that out over there. First, Bill, Ian, it's great to have you on the show, and I want to thank you again for making time here the day before the mega pay-per-view.
Good to be here. Absolutely. Pleasure to be here.
Okay, I did have a question for Bill that I wanted to sneak in. 1 week ago on this program, Hurricane Helms was on. Bill is in the Bill. You're in kind of an awkward position as you know, Gregory Helms and Al Snow, two clients of yours, were replaced as agents for Impact Wrestling by two other clients of yours, Sanjay Dutt and Abyss. Now, I mean, aside from all that, it looks as though it's a cost-cutting measure to have agents who also work as full-time wrestlers for yourself. Do you have an opinion as to what that says about how things are going for Impact Wrestling under Anthem?
It's consistent with what I thought was going to happen just based on the realities of the economics. Right now, Impact is a television show. It's all it is until they do something else. And to sustain a lot of people doing one thing for just a TV show when you can have some people multitask, as they already are. Abyss is helping with some of the creative. Sanjay's working in various ways in the office. He had been helping Jeff Jarrett and whatever Global was before that. So there's a reason for that. All of the other guys also had pre-established deals, and likely, as has happened several times in the changes Impact has had recently, where the budget has changed and changed has changed. A lot of people have left, including Dixie's right-hand man, Andy Barton, a while back, because they were able to make more money somewhere else or because their money was being dramatically cut. So I think, you know, Pat. All, you know, we forgot poor Pat Kenny. He was also let go, and he's been there the longest.
Yes, but he's not your client, as far as I know.
No, he isn't, but he's a friend.
Yes,
but and those girls will be fine. The good news is, other than some playful fun on social media, just because you sort of have to if you're a semi-celebrity. The reality is everybody appreciates the time they were there and knows that all of these spots in wrestling are fleeting. And if they don't
right.
know that and misunderstand their value, that's the only time you really get grumpy. I mean, look at anybody who leaves WWE. It's a wonderful job, and the people that leave find a reason to be mad at the guy that paid them. So.
Well, that's not just the wrestling industry, Bill, though, you know?
True. No, the real world's like that. Wrestlers just whine more in public about it.
Yeah, that's fair. And to be fair, you know, Hurricane told us last week that his deal was up for renewal, which is, I mean, you know, not having your contract renewed is technically not the same as being fired for a cause or anything like that. It's just,
his was a little bit different in that he had both he and Al, as you talk about, you know, the multitask aspect, they had been doing that. They had both been on-camera characters, so Pat really had been the only one that hadn't. So it was simply, I think, a decision of which guys do we know we're going to keep, and do we really think do we need Shane to be a spokesman for part of the X division, and you know, and do we need Al, because Al had his own little gimmick going on that was sort of created for Al for a little bit,
right?
And there was really no reason to perpetuate that as a character thing, you know, from their perspective. And again, they've got to figure out a way to save money. A lot of people have left because the most visible one would have been the Hardys. Likely, if TNA had re-signed the Hardys and Ring of Honor would have done an awful lot more business.
Yeah, that's probably true. Plus if they had signed, I don't know the money situation, but if they had signed the Hardys, you know, there might be another set of people who are not getting their, you know, who are not holding on to their jobs at TNA. So
things will be changing and fluid at TNA. They're going to be going to paying people on the as-you-work basis as much as they can, as opposed to anything that's guaranteed. The number of people getting guaranteed money will be minimized until there are more revenue streams.
And the problem with a TV show like, you know, with a TV show is the main company that's actually got a deal where you pay for the content is Anthem, who also owns the Fight Network. So you're dealing with the question of, well, gee, how much does one wing of Anthem want to pay the other wing of Anthem for?
Years ago, WWE's primary advertiser was IcoPro, so everybody goes through the reality of paying themselves at times. But it's a really hard way to grow a business now, in particular, because of fragmentation. Hard to get other people on board if you're the primary cheerleader. Although Jeff Jarrett has been remarkable in convincing people to find value in things even before they're truly tangible. So if he can bring that same magic as he and his dad did at the beginning, I mean, who knew TNA would survive this long regardless of how they screwed it up after 2008 at some level.
Right.
But regardless, by God, they're still around, and I got paid for quite a while, and I'm happy.
That's fair. TNA is going to celebrate its 15th anniversary. Ring of Honor has celebrated its 15th anniversary.
Both got started within months of each other, and the key stars that established TNA by every measure, in many cases, established Ring of Honor also. It was a lot of black back and forth between the AJ Styles, the Chris Daniels of the world. After Ring of Honor had a problem with a previous owner, TNA pulled everybody. And then right around the time Daniels was talking about earlier, that 2005-2006 area where Ring of Honor started growing again, was when Daniels, I worked out for Daniels and for Daniels and AJ to go back. Some of that relationship eventually led to Samoa Joe being brought in, who AJ had been lobbying for years. So there's been that cross-pollination. But inevitably, people seem to go back to Ring of Honor.
That's a good thing. All right, Ian, it's time, I think, for us to find our next mystery guest. And this is, and I'd like to thank Mark Kruskal of Ring of Honor Promotions, who did a great job setting up, making sure that Christopher Daniels got here, and getting our other mystery guest, who we're going to be calling right now. Hold on a moment, folks. Nothing like doing this live on the air. Well, there it is. Hello. Hold on.
Hello.
Hello. Hello, may I speak to the heavy metal rebel Kazarian?
Yeah, this is him.
Hi, Kazarian. This is Pat McNeil. You're on the PW Torch livecast. Ian Riccoboni is here, and Bill Behrens is here.
Yeah, we've met.
Yeah, really.
I've heard of both of them. I've heard of both.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, that's good. Great. We are talking about tomorrow night's Ring of Honor pay-per-view. Apparently, there are still tickets available live, two-day tickets, which get you tomorrow night and the Saturday taping. You go to Ring of Honor Wrestling, ROHWrestling.com. There's also a pay-per-view. You can watch through many of the usual outlets. And on that show, you are taking on the Hangman formerly known as Adam Page in a strap match. As a matter of fact, Bill Behrens was just saying he has no idea why anybody would want to participate in a strap match.
Yeah, it's, you got to be a bit deranged, but, I've excelled at matches where risk was a huge factor, be it Ultimate X-style matches or be it ladder wars and ladder matches. I've always accepted those as really cool challenges, and I've always excelled at them. And when you got two guys who just really want to beat the piss out of each other as much as Adam and I do, you have to put some type of stipulation on the match. And, it's just going to be two guys whipping the hell out of each other, and it's a good way to settle a score, if you ask me.
Yeah, actually, that does seem to be the one thing that you two agree on, is that you want this match.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've gone past the point of just a pinfall and submission match where, it's all a fight from this point on. We've spit in each other's face. We've slapped each other in the face. We've done heinous things. So this is about the only thing that Ring of Honor could do was put a straight match to position. It's gotten to that personal level, and for some warped, twisted, and insane reason, I'm very much looking forward to it. And I'm certain that Adam is as well.
You know, I got to give you credit, Kaz.
Yeah.
At War of the Worlds, I saw T.K. O'Ryan break his leg. I was 4 feet from that. But the grossest thing I've ever seen was that exchange that you and Hangman had, exchanging spit and then just Hangman with that disgusting act was, how did you control your emotions that night? Because I guess being a veteran wrestler, you found a way to channel that. But will you be able to keep that in check in the strap match?
I can keep it in check until I want to not keep it in check. Let's just say that. And when somebody does something as heinous as spit in your face, you're backed up against the wall. You don't have a whole lot of options. You either take him down and beat the hell out of him, or you spit right back at him, which is what I chose to do. And he spit right back at me, and I spit right back at him. And it was a, my take on it was, I can do this all day. People say, I got so much flack. People saying it was gross. It was just, in the heat of the moment, in the middle of a fight, you're not thinking gross. You're thinking, I'm going to stand my ground. I'm a man. I'll spit right back in this dude's face if he does it. And if he dares do it again, I'm offering the fans a chance right now to prepare for the holy spit chant, because it very well could happen tomorrow night. So #  holy spit right now. So let's get pretty tomorrow night. All right, let's do it together.
Yeah, I think that can be arranged. another thing that we talked about with Christopher Daniels that we're going to talk about with you is he definitely wants you two to get another shot at the ROH World Tag Team titles. And, of course, tomorrow is going to feature a match between the Young Bucks and the War Machine. What would you be looking for? What would be the best outcome for you guys coming out of that match?
Well, selfishly, I would love to wrestle and beat the Young Bucks again. We've already beaten the War Machine for the titles once. That's not to say that I wouldn't welcome the opportunity to, if it presented itself, to wrestle and beat the War Machine again. But, you know, I just have a feeling that the Young Bucks and myself and Christopher Daniels just aren't done doing this thing. You know, we've been to war, we've been to hell and back together, but it's going to happen again. And like I said, selfishly, they're the best tag team in the world. So, of course, I want to get in there and prove that Chris Daniels and I, as the Addiction, can still and will still hang with the best tag team in the world, plain and simple.
Okay. Let's see. I'm going to ask you one of the same questions that we asked earlier. Who are you still looking to fight outside of Adam Page? But is there anybody you have fought that you haven't fought yet in Ring of Honor that you'd be looking to wrestle against?
Well, the good thing about Ring of Honor is that there's never a shortage of opponents and good quality opponents. For example, a few weeks ago, I got the opportunity to wrestle a newcomer by the name of Flip Gordon, who I didn't know much about other than that he was talented. Got in there and found out that he was extremely talented and had a blast. And there's so many intriguing matches within the confines of the Ring of Honor locker room. I've gotten a chance to wrestle Marty Scurll, who I think is tremendous. Guys like Kenny King, who I've never had a straight-up singles match with as often as our paths have crossed. There's basically anybody on the roster, because it is such a quality roster that I welcome anybody and everybody, whether it be in singles or tag team action.
Okay. All right. I'll tell you what, we are about due for a short timeout. When we come back, we will have more with Frankie Kazarian, or Kazarian, one half of the Addiction, and a guy who has wrestled in just about every wrestling promotion you can think of. The PW Torch Livecast will return following this timeout.
Do you love pro wrestling, Torch? Then we've got another show just for you, Ring Rust Radio.
Ring Rust Radio breaks down the hottest topics and news from around the wrestling world, including WWE Raw, SmackDown, and pay-per-views, TNA, Lucha Underground, New Japan, and indie wrestling. Add in interviews with the biggest names in the industry, like Stone Cold Steve Austin, Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart, Paul Heyman, Kurt Angle, and many more, and Ring Rust Radio has something for everyone.
Check out the show on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. Interact with us on Twitter at Ringrust Radio and email us at ringrustradio@yahoo.com.
The PW Torch Livecast is back on the air. Our phone number is 515-605-9345. We have been talking about the Ring of Honor pay-per-view Best in the World coming up tomorrow night, Friday night, June 23rd on pay-per-view. And with us as our guest co-host is Bill Behrens, who has been on the show multiple times over the years. And also on with us right now, Kazarian, who the heavy metal rebel who has the big strap match tomorrow night against the Hangman Adam Page. And it's great to have him on. Also, you can reach us via email, pwtorchlivecast@gmail.com, or in the chat room, which is also open live. Kazarian, I do have another question for you. A long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away, you worked for WWE, and basically you ended up not being with the company over their desire to have you cut your hair. Has anybody from WWE ever gotten back to you in the intervening time saying, maybe that wasn't the best idea on our part. Maybe we'd like to have you back.
Well, that wasn't the sole reason. There were many factors that led to that. I've discussed that before, but at the time I just wasn't mentally or professionally ready to be there, mature enough from a maturity standpoint. But shortly after that, I returned to TNA, and so wasn't really in a position to discuss things of that nature. But, over the, last 3 to 5 years, there's been light discussions, but nothing ever obviously nothing that ever manifested into anything. You know, just kind of talking to people who are talking to people and things of that nature. And which is fine because I'm thrilled with where I am right now and everything else going forward. And by the way, you can't call me Frankie Kazarian. It was only TNA that decided to banish my first name, as they also do
okay.
with Christopher Daniels.
And we should also talk about your relatively new album that's out.
Right.
I'd be happy to talk about that.
Okay. Tell us about it and where people can find it, for one thing.
Well, our band is called Vex Temple. I play bass guitar in it. In early April, we released our first album called Doom Engine. If you like hard rock and heavy metal, I think you'll dig it. Some people have dubbed it desert metal. Some people have dubbed it stoner metal. There's a billion and one subgenres of heavy metal. So check it out for yourself and tell me what you think. You can find it digitally on all outlets, on iTunes, Apple Music, Google Play, Spotify. You can get it on our website, the physical copy at vexttemple.com. Hopefully, at some point I will be selling them at live events. I'm looking into that. And if you need any more questions answered, check my Twitter, because I cram as much information down people's throats about the band, because I'm a shameless self-promoter and I'm trying to build a brand and get the music out there. And check it out. I'd love to hear people's feedback and what they think.
Right. And one of those songs is your theme in Ring of Honor, the theme for Addiction?
Yeah. That's the track Get Addicted. That's with the wrestling fans, at least, that's one of the more popular songs. And
yeah,
that opportunity was allotted to me by the Ring of Honor brass when Chris Daniels and I were kind of taking our characters in a different direction. We needed music to fit that, and I discussed it with Chris, and he kind of told me his thoughts on it. And so I wrote some music, came up with a melody and some lyrics, gave it to my guys. We kind of fiddled around with it and got it out there, and it's pretty cool for me to, obviously someone that's passionate about pro wrestling and music, to walk out to the ring and hear a song that I crafted play us to the ring. It's pretty cool. You know, it's kind of a surreal moment every time when I'm, you know, hitting a pose and listening to my own band play me in the ring. It's, you know, I feel very...
It's going to be really hard, though, for you to bring them.
Narcissistic, you know, I'm like, look at me, listen to me, everything's about me. It's all, you know, so, but it's pretty cool.
But Frankie, how do you play yourself to the ring if your band ever performs live?
Well, what I do then is I obviously have a wireless setup to my rig. I play myself all the way down until I...
it's all about your instrument at that point, is what you're saying.
Yeah, I'll have my bass guitar with me. I'll play it all the way until I get into the ring. As soon as I get into the ring, I will then hit my opponent with my bass guitar, tell the ref to ring the bell and win my match, and play myself to the back.
Sweet.
But
that's
I won't play. I will play soft jazz as I walk to the back.
as you should calm the people down. They'll be concerned.
Right.
Yeah.
Sure. The dual music.
And it'll help the announcing team call your departure much, much better.
Yeah. I'm gonna give Ian the window to play like a sad Bruce Banner walking away type of song.
And as he walks off into the night.
Right. Exactly.
Dun, 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 dun. Yep. That's
exactly.
Very good. So look for that on upcoming Ring of Honor shows, perhaps.
Yeah. So be looking out, and if that ever happens, it will be as absurd as I just explained it.
Okay, but before your band came up with theme music, yeah, I mean, how does the art of picking out your own theme song work? I mean, I know how it works on the indies, but WWE apparently there's a huge process involved where where you tell them what you want and they try to come up with something that matches it. But
with me speaking personally, in the past with me, it's always been the only time I've ever the first time I'm sorry I should say that I had input of my music is in 2007 in TNA, and I had just kind of broken away from the Serotonin gimmick with Raven and with,
yeah.
about to branch off and do my own babyface thing. And I got a call from Jeff Jarrett, and he basically told me that he's Dale Oliver, who produced our music at the time, was needed new music from me, and so I needed to talk to him and bend his ear. And so I kind of told him what I had in mind and gave him like a song idea of kind of like tempo wise, and this is what I kind of wanted to start like, and I wanted to, you know, to really hit its mark here. And he basically took the song I gave him and kind of sped it up and changed a couple of chords and wrote me some interest music, which I thought was okay. And then when Chris and I were doing the Bad Influence tag team, we were using a really cool song by a band called The Revolting Cox on the indies, and on house shows, and we kind of did the same thing. We gave Dale that song, and he kind of made a song similar to that that had the same kind of swagger and beat, and I actually really enjoyed that music. So I always kind of had the freedom, and it was offered that collaborative freedom, but being able to completely from scratch write it was something new and something that I still think is super cool.
Okay, creatively, the freedom. Could you contrast the freedom that you have, you know, creatively to do what you want in the ring and on the mic in Ring of Honor compared to what you had previously in TNA and WWE?
Well, certainly, I mean, WWE is its own thing. That's, in the short time I was there, promos were written for me, and I could, if I wanted to, you know, fuddle a word or switch something up, I would ask, and they would say yes or no, but it was very regimented, which is fine. That's how they do things. At TNA, once again, Chris and myself got rolling, and they found out that we could be entertaining on the mics being ourselves, and we could be entertaining doing vignettes and coming up with our own verbiage. And we got a lot of trust and creative freedom from, especially at the time, Eric Bischoff and Jason Hervey. And they really took the reins off of us after a while and would basically give us a bullet point or two and say, go out there and be Bad Influence. And we would, and at the time, we were the hottest act in the company. So we obviously knew what we were doing. Coming to Ring of Honor, I've pretty much had carte blanche. Ideas are welcome and usually accepted, and it's again that collaborative freedom and that creative freedom that I have is something I don't take for granted here, because I know not every wrestling company is like that. So again, I'm very, very blessed and thankful that I have that, and that Ring of Honor has respects me enough and allows me to do that.
Okay. You and Daniels, while you were together, actually, just 2 years ago, you were part of World Tag League for New Japan Pro. Has there been any talk of bringing you guys back over there for another try?
Speak for Chris. Well, I probably can, because he's sitting about 6 feet from me. But
hi, Chris.
Personally, I would love to. Hang on, Chris. Personally, I would love to. I think that. We both thought at the time that we had really good matches and a good showing when we did the tag league in Japan, and would love to go back and do it again. I still say that we are one of and can compete with the best tag teams in the world. And doing that on the New Japan Pro Wrestling stage would be, again, an honor. And I would certainly love to win the IWGP Heavyweight Tag Team titles with my partner, Chris Daniels.
Okay. All right. We're going to take our final break here. When we come back, more with Frankie Kazarian and with Bill Behrens. This is the PW Torch live cast. Don't you go anywhere.
Do you shop at Amazon.com? If so, do you know there's a way for you to support the PW Torch live cast without doing anything different other than starting your shopping at pwtorch.com/Amazon? When you go to pwtorch.com/Amazon, click on the Amazon link and you land at the Amazon homepage. But anything you buy on that shopping trip, we get a commission for. It's a way to throw a few extra quarters, maybe a couple bucks in the tip jar, as a way to say thanks for what we do here at the PW Torch Livecast. So next time you're about to shop at Amazon, don't type in AMAZ. Stop right there and type in PWTORCH.com/Amazon. That's PWTORCH.com/Amazon. A free, easy way to help support what we do here at the Livecast. Thank you.
All right, this is the PW Torch Livecast, Thursday interview edition. I am Pat McNeil, filling in for Torch editor Wade Keller, who will likely be back next week. The number is 515-605-9345. Frankie Kazarian is here. Bill Behrens has been nice enough to sit in as a guest co-host for the evening. And, Bill, I want to thank you again for that.
Thank you.
And tomorrow night, it's Frankie Kazarian. It's Hangman Page. It is a strap match at Ring of Honor's Best in the World pay-per-view, an event that it's probably the signature, one of the signature events of ROH. It has been for some time, and you can find it on pay-per-view. Other than your match, Frankie, which match I could ask which match you're most looking forward to. I'm guessing that would be Christopher Daniels' match. But what else on the show interests you?
Of course, obviously the main event, Christopher Daniels and Cody. Certainly, I have invested interest in that match. Again, what we were just talking about, the War Machine and Young Bucks. I'm a fan of Young Bucks matches. Plain and simple, I like to be entertained, and they never fail to entertain. Certainly, Marty Scurll and Kushida, just two guys that are absolutely hitting their stride right now, and I'm thankful that they're doing so at least part of the time in a Ring of Honor ring. That's going to be a very, very intriguing rematch. So those three are at the top of my list. But as always, I'll be watching everything and observing.
Mm-hmm. Bill, do you have anything?
I think it's based on paper, it looks like it's going to be a hell of a pay-per-view, and the TV that follows should lead to some compelling television over the 4 years that 4 weeks they get out of that. I think Ring of Honor is in a good place now. You had said earlier that, Ring of Honor, there are a lot of new faces on this thing. Things are different. And one of the reasons for that is some people have stepped away, but the reality is every time that happens, a huge door seems to kick open, and then the people that come in at that point, whether it's, you know, Bubba or Bully Ray, or whether it's Cody or any of the New Japan stars or CMLL stars, this, you know, there's always people that are going, oh, cool, now there's a spot. Sweet, I got a place to go now, because only so many people can get pushed at a level that matters. So if somebody decides to step away hoping that they're going to find fame and fortune somewhere else, it's often a stepping stone opportunity for someone else. I think right now, you know, what Frankie has is here's a guy that's been there, done that, bought lots of T-shirts, accomplished a lot of things, and you've got a guy that's just beginning to make his way in the company and has latched himself onto some good stuff. But you really can't look down the resume and go, oh, look at all this, look at all the titles this guy's had in Ring of Honor, you know? So beating a Frankie Kazarian, and particularly if he does it in a way that could be humiliating in a strap match, is that's a big deal. You move up a little bit with that. So that's I think what Frankie's going into on this one, and Daniels is in the same position. Cody is the young buck going after the experienced guy. Cody is not the experienced master just because he spent some time in WWE. He's the guy trying to beat the man, and that's never easy because Daniels has been in the ring with the best. He's been in the ring with at least one or two, you know, WWE champions historically, beat them.
Right. Speaking to what you just said, also, I think it speaks volumes that somebody like a Bully Ray is a guy that sought out Ring of Honor and wanted to be here because he recognized that right now Ring of Honor has a lot of positive buzz and there's special things going on, and he wanted to be here in that veteran role of a guy who has been there and done that, and as you said, bought the T-shirt and accomplished a ton of things all over the place, and he is now here sharing that knowledge in Ring of Honor, and I think that's really cool.
That's one thing that Ring of Honor's always had over the years is, you know, you've had people you wouldn't expect show up, and maybe they're there for a little while, maybe they're there for a long time. It's, you know, and there's been that ability to mix talent that you would think is different and wouldn't be able to mesh well.
Most of the top talent in a variety of companies in the business that has left Ring of Honor has made it a point to go there before, in most cases, anywhere else. AJ Styles did it for a period of time. Samoa Joe did it for a period of time. CM Punk even did it for a time.
Yeah.
Everybody, Daniel Bryan, everybody has, when they have the opportunity, if they're available and they're not doing the other thing, Ring of Honor is where they want to be otherwise. And that's why it's always a destination. And that's why, particularly now that it's going to have a bigger and bigger platform, it's going to be increasingly difficult for people to get in because there's only so many spots in the company. It's got one TV show. It's got an hour. There's only so many people that can be showcased. So when you get that spot, you know, and you're in a top match, it's important because, you know, there's not a lot of place to go. The up is not that far away, and the down is not that far away either. And being gone is a reality because there's so many talented people ready to come in. They may be tied up somewhere now. Somebody like Ricochet may be tied up still with a no-compete with Lucha Underground, but could be available tomorrow.
Yeah, but, I mean, that's also a positive, though. I mean, you don't have Ring of Honor would be different if they had to fill 3 hours and 15 minutes every week, for example.
It'd be a totally different economic situation. It would be a different game.
Yeah.
And eventually, depending on what happens with Tribune's acquisition, assuming that it gets approved by the FCC, assuming Tribune hangs on to everything because now they've got an awful lot of stuff and they got to figure out what they're getting rid of also as they take on these things. But in the mix right now is a station in New York, a station in Chicago, and a station in Los Angeles. And those three added together are 15-16% of the country, and right now Sinclair is in 23 with a lot of smaller stations. So, you know, if they were able to facilitate themselves into those markets, there's where you can really begin to see some advertiser and audience growth because of the size of the market. And at least two of those already have a pretty substantial audience.
I know what I wanted to ask you, Frankie. For anybody who is beginning in the pro wrestling business who one day wants to make it to Ring of Honor, what advice would you have for them? Because like Bill says, there's only so many slots, and you know, you have an easier chance of getting into the NBA than becoming a full-time pro wrestler in America because the NBA has more roster positions.
I would advise them to run in the opposite direction. Wrestling, just like anything in life, anything worth achieving, you are going to get out of it what you put into it. You have to treat this. Pro wrestling is so very different that you have to have a bit of an obsession with it. You have to eat, breathe, sleep, and just live and die by it. I know I can speak for myself and for my colleagues that have achieved a certain level of success. So many sacrifices were made and so much was given up so that we could reach this level of success. So it's a matter of keeping a positive attitude. I can't say enough about that. Right now, as you're saying, there's a million guys that can do a million super cool moves and fantastic athletic feats and dives and are just outstanding, tremendous wrestling, be it on the mat, be it from a high-flying perspective, or and guys that have good looks. That's almost a dime a dozen these days. It's having a positive attitude, being willing to work hard, being willing to listen, working as often as you can against as many different people as you can, and being patient. I often in my career was very impatient and was told, you know, just wait, continue doing what you're doing. It's repetition, repetition, repetition. I'm still learning. I'm still correcting things and still perfecting that. It's art, and art can never be perfect. So you got to remember that, and just the work never stops. I'm almost 20 years in. and I'm still every day thinking of how I can present myself better from a character standpoint, from an in-ring, how I move physically, how I look physically, my work, everything. And it's all cliche, but it's kind of the same thing across all blankets of like entertainment or sports. And like you said, like what you just said, it's to be a full-time wrestler and do this as a career is more difficult than being in the NBA. And that's when you really think about that statement, that's astonishing. And it makes me really appreciate what I have and what I've accomplished.
What I can say is that if someone is out there and believes that they know who they are as a wrestler, which is part of what Frankie's talking about, who am I, why does anybody give a crap about me, and how do I back it up in what I do, and why does anyone care? Because if everybody's doing the same stuff, if everybody has a beard, then nobody looks different. If everybody's doing the same flips so that they end up down on their knee at the end, then all of a sudden it's not unique anymore. You've got to find a way to be different. Chris Daniels always did that. Frankie Zerino always did that. AJ was lucky he got to be phenomenal, but not everybody gets away with that spot. But even he had to, you know, be a comedy foil to Christian at one point. So everybody's got to find their moment. But when you think you've got something, if you're Dalton Castle and you've got an entire ring introduction and a character defined, then what you do is you go to a Ring of Honor camp and you show smart people, and the next thing you know, you get a job.
Yep.
Is that right, exactly what happened?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Okay, well, first of all, Frankie, we'd like to thank you for making an unscheduled stop here on the PW Torch livecast. Big pay-per-view tomorrow, Ring of Honor, ROHWrestling.com, and on pay-per-view. How can people keep track of you via social media, and more importantly, how can they buy your merchandise?
Frankie Kazarian on Twitter is pretty much my go-to in terms of social media. I also recently created a Facebook, but through that, I will give you information about merchandise, about everything, about myself, about upcoming shows, about my band Vex Temper. I will wax political, I will wax idiotic, and I will talk about heavy metal and rock and roll music, so please follow along on my journey.
Okay. Looking forward to that. And Bill, your social media for those people keeping track of you?
It's all pretty much William Barron's everywhere with ats or things in front of it. You can find me. It's not that hard. If you can spell my last name, you can find me because nobody else has my last name. You know, Behrens. If you can spell that, you can find me because the only other guy is like a funeral director on Google. There's the SBIBookings.com where you can, you know, book talented people like Frankie Kazarian on international bookings only.
Yes.
Yes, you can put together an incredible lineup by going to SBIBookings.com and talking to Bill and spending a lot of money. Thank you both again for being with us, and thanks to all of you listeners who turned in at a special time and got to hear a lot of interesting people talking about professional wrestling. Don't forget, join Mike and Andrew tonight after Impact, Bruce and Rich Fan tomorrow, and we'll be by again this coming Monday. This is the PW Torch livecast. For those of you interested in becoming PW Torch VIP members, here's our announcer guy explaining how to do it.
If you're a fan of the PW Torch livecast, you might want to consider a PW Torch VIP membership. When you do that, you get access to an exclusive RSS feed of not only ad-free, plug-free versions of every single PW Torch livecast, but also over 50 other VIP exclusive podcasts per month, including the Every Single Day Wade Keller Hotline. I also host three other flagship VIP exclusive podcasts: The Midweek Fix with Todd Martin, The Weekend Bruce Mitchell Audio Show, each about 2 hours in length, and the post pay-per-view roundtables with the 1 hour analysis of every WWE pay-per-view and some other ones too. Also, ad-free access to PWTorchVIP.com. And that is mobile-friendly and PC and desktop-friendly. And also access to almost three decades of the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter, dating back to the late 1980s, over 1,400 back issues, with my pay-per-view reports on every single pay-per-view match since the late 1980s, with star ratings and match descriptions, roundtable reviews from the staff on every pay-per-view, cover stories on the biggest story every single week in pro wrestling, march through them as a VIP member one week at a time, read our exclusive Torch Talks with pro wrestling's biggest names, hard-hitting editorials, backstage tidbits you will not hear anywhere else, and much more. It's all available. Check out details at pwtorch.com/govip. That's pwtorch.com/govip. Exclusive podcasts, exclusive new newsletters every week, ad-free access to our website, and access to 28-plus years of archives. It's all waiting for you if you go VIP. Find out more details, a checklist of all the benefits of being a VIP member, along with testimonials from current members and a sign-up form that's mobile-friendly. Takes about 90 seconds to sign up. Go check it out today, pwtorch.com/govip.
Yeah.